Epilogue, Psyche and Cosmos by Richard Tarnas, PhD, Part 2.
Correlations with COEX systems. In the course of his early work in the 1960s, using psycholytic therapy, before he had recognized the perinatal matrices, Stan observed the existence of certain dynamic constellations of emotionally charged memories that shared similar affective and somatic qualities. The COEX systems were systems of condensed experience. In serial sessions involving low to medium doses of LSD, these COEX systems gradually emerged as various memories from different periods of life that were thematically related came to the surface, eventually often converging in a cluster and becoming condensed into a powerful multidimensional experience. Such retrieved memories in earlier sessions were typically based on more recent events and experiences, while in later sessions they reached deeper into the unconscious to early childhood and infantile experiences that were thematically related to the more recent memories. Different individuals tended to carry their own particular sets of COEX systems, both negative ones, such as various experiences of abandonment, shame, or claustrophobic constriction, and positive ones, such as diverse experiences of nourishing love, joyful triumph, or expansive awakening. Careful analysis of individuals' birth charts and transits in the course of their lives suggested that these COEX systems corresponded in striking ways with major planetary alignments in the natal chart, whose archetypal meanings were directly relevant to the themes of the emerging COEX. Even more striking was the fact that the timing of the major events that contributed to the COEX system in the course of life, such as the death of a parent, a numinous childhood experience, or a romantic awakening, consistently coincided with major transits crossing the specific planetary configurations in the natal chart related to that COEX. In turn, the emergence into consciousness and integration of such a COEX during a psychedelic session tended to take place when the relevant natal configuration was again undergoing a major transit. The evidence suggested that such transits of a particular COEX-related natal configuration could be experienced either as a further magnification of the unconscious COEX system, thus increasing its psychological power, or as an opportunity to bring it to consciousness, and in the case of negative COEXes, release the jammed energies and painful emotions associated with the original traumas. As Stan has discussed in the current work and elsewhere, the COEX systems associated with various biographical experiences turned out to be more deeply rooted in the unconscious in one of the four perinatal matrices, whose rich and complex phenomenology contained in prototypical form the elementary themes of virtually all COEX systems. Biographical experiences of abandonment, such as the tragic loss of a parent during childhood, a devastating romantic rejection, or a wrenching divorce, were all thematically connected with each other, but also had common roots in the perinatal experience of the primordial loss of the maternal womb. By contrast, later experiences of unexpected personal success at school or sports in one's youth, of major professional success in one's career during one's adult years, or more generally of sudden joy after overcoming great obstacles, found deeper roots in the experience of sudden, successful emergence from the constricting birth canal. Yet over time, in more advanced stages of therapy and self-exploration, the COEX systems proved to be rooted at even deeper levels of the unconscious than the perinatal, such as ancestral, historical, collective, karmic, and phylogenetic experiences. What in earlier sessions might have seemed to be an acutely personal psychological issue or biographical themes specific to the individual could be discovered to be grounded in underlying familial patterns stretching back across many generations, or in vivid experiences connected to an earlier historical era, to an entire culture, or to another species of life. In the case of negative coex systems, integration of these deeper transpersonal levels of a coex system was often necessary for deep healing and release from the traumatic syndrome to occur. In the case of positive coex systems, connecting with their deeper transpersonal sources, such as mystical unity with the Godhead or the all-nourishing embrace of the Great Mother Goddess, could provide an especially powerful healing experience. At the core of each such coex system, we consistently found a particular archetypal principle or complex whose thematic character informed and interconnected the biographical, perinatal, and transpersonal dimensions of the coex. This finding closely resembled Jung's understanding of the archetype as constituting the core of every psychological complex. But the coex system added a dynamic temporal dimension in which major events and experiences from different periods of life, from the stages of birth, and from various prenatal, historical, and other transpersonal levels of the psyche can accumulate and constellate into an integrated system that can be experientially accessed in non-ordinary states of consciousness. The concept of the archetypal complex, developed in Jungian and archetypal psychology, provided us with a nuanced understanding of the various archetypal principles with their rich array of mythological and esoteric meanings and interrelationships. In turn, Stan's concept of the coex system offered a more precisely delineated view of the multi-layered, dynamic constellations of memories and events lodged in the deep psyche, rooted in biographical, perinatal, fetal, ancestral, karmic, historical, phylogenetic, and other transpersonal levels. Over time, these coex systems seem to accumulate greater and greater psychic and somatic charge, like a snowball going downhill, drawing into themselves more events and experiences that magnify the inherited psychosomatic structures and impulses until they are made conscious and integrated. The overall picture that emerged from this synthesis is depicted in a diagram as described here. Systems of condensed experience, coex, and levels of consciousness. Picture an hourglass. At the top is a line. Above this is ordinary ego consciousness. Just below this line is the personal unconscious, which includes biographical memories. Coming down to the center of the hourglass, its most narrow part, are the four basic perinatal matrices, BPM1, BPM2, BPM3, and BPM4. These are connected to the biographical memories above in the personal unconscious. Here, at this narrowest point of the hourglass, are the perinatal memories. This is from the moment of birth. The moment of birth is also when the birth chart is set. Moving into the lower half of the hourglass, we enter the transpersonal unconscious, where we find ancestral memories, karmic memories, collective memories, phylogenetic memories, and mythological experiences. These two are connected to the four perinatal matrices. At the bottom of the hourglass is represented the archetypal dimension, symbolized by the glyphs of the planets of our solar system, the Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. Two important implications of our research findings can be mentioned here, both of which are suggested in the previously described diagram. One is the supraordinate role of the archetypes in relation to all three levels of consciousness, biographical, perinatal, and transpersonal, informing the differentiated dynamic constellations and matrices of experience at each level, and thematically unifying them within the multivalent complexes of meaning carried by each archetype or combination of archetypes. The archetypal forms seem to serve as general organizing principles of the deep psyche. Much is described in Jungian and archetypal psychology, but within the more differentiated architecture of psychodynamics that emerged from transpersonal consciousness research, psychedelic therapy, and other holotropic experiences. The second implication worth noting here is the unexpected correspondence between Stan's findings of the crucial psychological importance of birth and astrology's focus on the planetary positions at birth. One might say that both birth and the birth chart in some sense mediate access to archetypal and transpersonal dimensions. More specifically, the careful study of the birth chart and the reliving of birth and perinatal experiences of death and rebirth both appear to provide powerful ways for individuals to access more directly and consciously the deeper archetypal and transpersonal dimensions that inform their lives and influence their present state of consciousness. Both the perinatal level of the psyche and the astrological natal chart seem to represent a gateway, a via regia, opening up consciousness to the depths of the unconscious. The diagram, as described, can in fact be read in both directions, from the top down and from the bottom up. In long-term serial sessions of experiential psychotherapy and self-exploration, a characteristic sequence is for an individual to move from more recent experiences that share certain underlying qualities to successively earlier and earlier experiences of a similar emotional or somatic character from youth, childhood, and the pre-Oedipal and infantile periods of life. Then a significant deepening to the perinatal level and the death-rebirth complex of experiences, with this in turn connecting with and opening up to a vast range of transpersonal experiences in the collective unconscious. Beyond, and in a sense surrounding and informing, all just described, is the archetypal realm, in some manner associated with the vast cosmos and starry sky. The revelation of this domain, captured in Plato's Myth of the Cave, was eloquently anticipated in a passage from the early 20th century Polish writer Bruno Schulz. So it comes to pass that when we pursue an inquiry beyond a certain depth, we step out of the field of psychological categories and enter the sphere of the ultimate mysteries of life, the floorboards of the soul to which we try to penetrate, fan open, and reveal the starry firmament. Reading the diagram in the other direction, after experiencing the larger spectrum of experiences across these many levels, the individual often gains insight into how various factors from the larger transpersonal domain, ancestral, karmic, historical, and so forth, seem to have translated themselves into specific, powerful aspects of the birth experience. Here, the vector of the diagram can be seen as moving upward from the transpersonal to the personal. For example, an experience of death by hanging in a previous life can morph into a birth this lifetime in which the umbilical cord is wrapped around the neck, causing near asphyxiation, which in turn can be experienced as unfolding within the postnatal life in various forms, such as suffering severe difficulty in breathing during an episode of infantile diphtheria or whooping cough, or being aggressively choked as a child by an older sibling or a bully in a fight. In both directions, the perinatal can be seen as the point of convergence between the transpersonal and personal. Over the years of research, with further analysis and the wider range of data that emerged during the 1980s, 1990s, and 2000s, we gained a somewhat different understanding of the role of the perinatal in relation to the rest of the unconscious in therapeutic and transformational work. Rather than serving as a mandatory threshold through which all individuals inevitably pass in the course of their journeys into the deep psyche, we found that a person could potentially undergo a powerful transpersonal experience, such as a deep identification with Gaia or the entire Earth community, or what seemed to be an event from another historical era or memory from a past life, without necessarily having undergone the biographical perinatal transpersonal sequence observed by Stan in many patients and subjects during the 1960s and early 1970s. Instead, an individual may access any level at any time, depending on the catalyzing method, psychedelic session, breathwork, kundalini yoga, gestalt therapy, spiritual emergency, etc. The setting, the stage of therapy or self-exploration, the specific psychedelic medicine used and dosage level, and perhaps other less knowable factors, such as the spontaneous unfolding of the individual's inner healing intelligence, the telos of the individuation in Jung's sense, or the holotropic movement toward wholeness in Stan's sense, or perhaps even karma or grace. What proved to be key across these variables, however, was the archetypal character of the experience, which consistently tended to be correlated with specific natal and transiting planetary alignments, and which could express itself at any level, whether biographical, perinatal, or transpersonal. The dominant qualities of any particular psychedelic session, holotropic experience, spiritual emergency or emergence, or therapeutic turning point could be discerned in archetypal terms and correlated with the natal chart and transits. World transits. I have so far been discussing correlations involving individuals' birth charts and personal transits. After the initial years of research in which I focused on the lives and experiences of individuals involved in deep self-exploration, psychotherapy, psychedelic experimentation, and various other transformational practices, I increasingly turned my attention to the study of major cultural and historical figures. I was curious, for example, what transits Freud had when on July 24, 1895, the secret of dreams was revealed to him, as he put it, and he grasped how the unconscious symbolically expressed itself through the dream. Or what convergence of transits Jung had during the crucial 1913 through 18 period of his life, when he underwent a powerful descent into his own unconscious that brought forth the principal images and ideas with which he would work for the rest of his career. I was curious what transits were taking place when Galileo first turned his telescope to the heavens in 1609 and 10 and glimpsed the new Copernican universe that he would help open up to modern understanding. Or what transits Beethoven had when he wrote the Eroica Symphony and revolutionized classical European music. Or by contrast, what he had when he first came to the tragic realization that he was becoming incurably deaf, unable to hear his own music. With each of these major biographical and cultural turning points, and hundreds more like them, I discovered the same consistency and archetypal precision of the planetary correlations as we had been finding in the psychotherapeutic and psychedelic research. Gradually, however, another level of understanding opened up that recontextualized the findings so far considered. As the five slower-moving outer planets from Jupiter through Pluto orbit around the Sun along with the Earth, they gradually move into and then out of major alignments with each other, conjunctions, oppositions, and so forth, relative to the Earth in ongoing cycles. Depending on the planets and orbital speeds involved, some of these periods of cyclical alignments last longer and happen more rarely, such as the Uranus-Pluto conjunction that encompassed the entire period of the 1960s and early 1970s, while others are shorter in duration and happen more frequently, such as the Jupiter-Uranus cycle, whose conjunctions and oppositions each last about 14 months and happen approximately every 7 years. I found that the periods encompassed by these world transits were consistently marked by a convergence of major historical events, cultural movements, and public figures in many countries and areas of human activity, all of which reflected a shared zeitgeist whose archetypal character corresponded with the planets aligned during that time with the Earth. These historical patterns were both synchronic and diachronic in nature, a dual form of archetypal patterning that was strikingly consistent throughout the larger body of historical evidence. The synchronic patterns took the form of many events of the same archetypal character occurring simultaneously in different cultures and individual lives in coincidence with the same planetary alignment. Simultaneous revolutionary movements or major waves of artistic creativity occurring independently in separate countries and continents, or multiple scientific breakthroughs achieved at the same time by different scientists working entirely independently of each other. The diachronic patterns reflected the fact that events taking place during one planetary alignment had a close archetypal and often historically causal association with the events that occurred during preceding and subsequent alignments of the same two planets in a manner that suggested a distinct unfolding cycle. The relevant periods were thus linked to each other, not only because they shared the same archetypal character, but also by virtue of their sequential continuity and unfolding historical and causal connections from one cycle to the next. The associated historical trends and cultural movements seem to undergo a sharply intensified or accelerated development during each successive period in what appeared to be a continuously unfolding but cyclically punctuated spiralic evolution. Because I have already published an extensive account of such historical correlations between planetary cycles and archetypal patterns in my book Cosmos and Psyche, I will not discuss them further here, except as they proved relevant for understanding individual experiences in therapeutic, psychedelic, and holotropic contexts. For as I deepened my analysis of individual transformational experiences over the decades, I became aware that the overarching archetypal dynamics reflected in the world transits appeared to provide a kind of meta-context that encompassed and informed the specific archetypal dynamics reflected in an individual's personal transits. For example, the Uranus-Pluto conjunction of the 1960s and early 1970s, with its characteristic quality of intensified elemental energy and revolutionary transformation, seems to have provided the archetypal context for the powerful emergence of perinatal experiences that Stan observed and formulated at that time. The entire collective field had a perinatal intensity that expressed itself in the LSD sessions in a manner that seemed to come directly from a larger archetypal source. By contrast, the long Uranus-Neptune conjunction from the mid-1980s through the end of the millennium provided a different archetypal context, reflected in such archetypally relevant phenomena as the widespread use of MDMA, or ecstasy, with its characteristic stimulation of numinous merging experiences in group settings, like the countless raves occurring throughout the world beginning in the late 1980s. The increasing participation in ayahuasca rituals, not only in indigenous South American settings, but in North American and European societies, which was part of a more general widespread engagement with the sacred ritual use of vision plants. And the rapid spread of holotropic and other forms of breathwork and deep meditation techniques. Reports from many psychedelic and holotropic experiences at this time made clear that individuals were accessing various transpersonal dimensions without necessarily first passing through the titanic upheavals and breakthroughs of the perinatal domain. Similarly appropriate in archetypal terms during this time of increasing globalization and internet connectivity was the increasing dissolution of boundaries between different cultural and religious traditions. This dissolving of boundaries occurred not only at the collective level of multicultural interaction and a resulting creative religious syncretism, but also at an entirely interior individual level, whereby subjects in non-ordinary states of consciousness reported having spontaneous religious and mythological experiences and insights from cultural traditions entirely outside of their previous knowledge, suggesting that the collective psyche was undergoing an unprecedented internal globalizing process apart from the more literal one happening in the external world. In addition, other major world transits of briefer duration during these decades, such as the several Saturn-Neptune or Jupiter-Uranus alignments, coincided with still other major archetypal tendencies in individual experiences and non-ordinary states of consciousness. Moreover, it became clear that with both world transits and personal transits, faster-moving inner planet transits seemed to synchronistically trigger or catalyze the specific timing of events and experiences associated with the longer, more powerful transits of the slower-moving outer planets. Finally, there was the important ongoing issue of multiple transits happening simultaneously that were often of very different archetypal quality and on occasion virtually polar opposite in nature. Only gradually did we gain a sense for how to synthesize and weigh the relative importance of these multiple transiting and natal factors as they were expressed in psychedelic and holotropic sessions and in individual lives more generally. The issue of causality. From our first encounter with the evidence of potential planetary correlations, Stan and I were confronted with the theoretical difficulty of imagining how the physical planets, at widely varying distances from the Earth, could exert an influence on not only external events in human history and biography, but the interior realities of private human experience. It was difficult to imagine any physical factor, at least as conventionally understood, that could serve as a plausible source or medium of the observed correlations. Very early in our research, Stan suggested that a more likely explanation for what we were seeing is that the universe has woven into its very fabric a meaningful coherence between the macrocosm and the microcosm. Instead of a Cartesian Newtonian form of linear causality involving some kind of physical emanations, like electromagnetic radiation, the nature of the correspondences suggested more of an intrinsic synchronistic orchestration between planetary movements in the heavens and archetypal patterns in human experience. As we learned later, the concept of synchronicity had indeed been invoked by Jung on several occasions as a possible explanation for why astrology worked in spite of modern assumptions that it should not. After several decades of research, I believe that the range of correspondences between planetary positions and human existence is too vast and multidimensional, too clearly ordered by structures of meaning rather than physically measurable forces, too suggestive of creative intelligence, too pervasively informed by aesthetic patterning, too symbolically multivalent, too experientially complex and nuanced, and not least, too responsive to human participatory inflection to be explained by straightforward material factors alone. A more plausible and comprehensive explanation of the available evidence points to a conception of the universe as a fundamentally interconnected whole, informed by creative intelligence and pervaded by patterns of meaning and order that extend through every level. This would represent, as Jung suggested, a cosmic expression of the principle of synchronicity. It also parallels the Hermetic axiom, as above, so below. In this perspective, the planets do not cause specific events any more than the hands on a clock cause a specific time. Instead, the planetary positions seem to be indicative of the cosmic state of archetypal dynamics at that time. The Neoplatonic philosopher Plotinus expressed a world conception along this line in the Aeneids. The stars are like letters, which inscribe themselves at every moment in the sky. Everything in the world is full of signs. All events are coordinated. All things depend on each other. As has been said, everything breathes together. There is, however, a sense in which causality does appear relevant in this context, and this is in the sense of archetypal causation, comparable to Aristotle's concept of formal and final causation. While the movements of the physical planets may bear a synchronistic rather than mechanistically causal connection with a given human experience, one could say that the experience is in some sense being constellated, variously affected, impelled, drawn forth, patterned, by the relevant archetypes, and in this sense, it may be appropriate to speak, for example, of Saturn as archetype as influencing one in a specific way, as governing certain kinds of experience, and so forth. But while the archetype may be a cause, I would not consider it the cause, as archetypal factors are always acting in complex recursive relationship with human agency, level of consciousness, cultural context, concrete circumstance, interpersonal field, genetic inheritance, past actions, and many other possible factors. The nature of archetypes. The evidence of planetary correlations with human experience centers on the multidimensional principle of archetypes. When Jung, influenced by both Kant's critical philosophy and Freud's instinct theory, brought the idea of archetypes into contemporary discourse in his recognition of certain universal constants that structure the deep levels of the human psyche, he was using a term and a concept drawn from the Platonic philosophical tradition. In the background of both the Jungian and Platonic perspectives was the ancient mythological experience of gods and goddesses, essentially personified expressions of the equally numinous Platonic forms and Jungian archetypes. To simplify a complex historical development, in the course of which the cultural focus evolved from myth to philosophy to psychology, one could say that the Platonic tradition gave philosophical articulation to the primordial mythic vision of powerful essences or beings that both informed and transcended human life. In turn, while Plato understood the transcendent forms or ideas to be the fundamental structuring principles of an ensouled cosmos, Jung understood the archetypes to be the fundamental structuring principles of the human psyche. These important distinctions reflected the long epistemological and cosmological evolution that took place in Western thought during the past 2,500 years, gradually differentiating psyche from cosmos and leading to the modern disenchantment of the world within which depth psychology emerged over a century ago. On the basis of his long study of synchronicities, however, Jung came to the conclusion that the archetypes could not justifiably be localized within human subjectivity, but instead seemed to inform both psyche and world, serving as an underlying unitive principle. In this sense, the later development of Jung's archetypal theory more closely approached the Platonic view, though with a greater psychological emphasis and a fuller recognition of both the multivalence and the shadow dimension of the archetypes. Jung's later thinking is also consistent with the many archetypal experiences reported in the psychedelic literature, which suggest that archetypes can fluidly express themselves as psychological forms, as cosmic principles, or as mythic beings. Contrary to the disenchanted modern worldview, the evidence of systematic planetary correlations with the archetypal patterns of human experience suggests that the cosmos is a living, ever-evolving matrix of being and meaning within which the human psyche is embedded as a co-creative participant. In Jungian terms, the research points to the possibility that the collective unconscious is in some way embedded in the universe itself, whereby the planetary motions reflect at a macrocosmic level the unfolding archetypal dynamics of human experience. In Platonic terms, the evidence seems to reflect the existence of an anima mundi informing the cosmos. a world soul in which the human psyche participates as a microcosm of the whole. In Homeric mythic terms, the evidence indicates a continuity with the worldviews of the great archaic civilizations, such as ancient Mesopotamia and Egypt, with their awareness of an intimate connection between the gods and the heavens that both inspired and structured their religious and social life, astronomical observations, and monumental architecture. In retrospect, humanity's long evolution of consciousness and worldviews seem to have been accompanied by an evolution in how the archetypal domain has been perceived and theorized, as well as how it was eventually negated and then rediscovered in new forms. In the course of that evolution, including its modern disenchanting stages in particular, there occurred a decisive differentiation of an autonomous self and a strengthening of human agency. In a further dialectical unfolding, more recent developments in archetypal theory and experience have emphasized the participatory and multivalent nature of the archetypes. This emerging perspective both recognizes the underlying power of archetypes while giving the human being a greater co-creative as well as co-responsible role in their expression. This has led to the possibility of a new form of human relationship to the anima mundi that permits and even thrives on the simultaneous existence of autonomy and embeddedness. Yet paradoxically, the disenchantment of the universe and radical separation of human consciousness from the whole may have been the precondition for both the alienation that helped precipitate the crisis of modern consciousness and the forging of a modern identity capable of re-engaging the anima mundi in a new participatory manner. The journey of depth psychology from the 1880s to the present, from Freud to Graf, so to speak, would have been neither possible nor necessary without the long cosmological and existential evolution that preceded it. The Passion of the Western Mind sets out a narrative history of the Western worldview in which the evolution of the archetypal perspective plays a central role, from Plato and the ancient Greeks to Jung and the postmodern. Cosmos and Psyche provides a summary overview of the archetypal perspective and the ontologically fluid, multivalent nature of planetary archetypes, before going on to examine the evidence of planetary correlations with the archetypal patterns and cycles of history. Finally, my notes on archetypal dynamics and complex causality, originally written in 2002 and published in three parts in Archai, the Journal of Archetypal Cosmology, issues 4, 5, and 6, represents a more systematic effort to understand and articulate the unique features of archetypal dynamics observed in planetary correlations and in human experience more generally. Returning to the planetary correlations with psychedelic experiences. Only as I came to fully recognize the multidimensional and multivalent nature of archetypes, their formal coherence and consistency that could nevertheless give rise to a plurality of meanings and possible expressions, did the extraordinary elegance of the planetary correlations become discernible. Any particular manifestation of a given archetype can be positive or negative, creative or destructive, admirable or base, profound or trivial. The archetypes associated with specific planetary alignments are equally apt to express themselves in the interior life of the psyche as in the external world of concrete events, and often both at once. Closely linked yet entirely opposite polarities contained in the same archetypal complex can be expressed in coincidence with the same planetary configuration. A person undergoing a particular transit can be on either the acting or the receiving end of the relevant archetypal gestalt, with altogether different consequences. Of these many related possibilities, which mode actually occurs does not seem to be observable in the birth chart or planetary alignments per se. Instead, the archetypal principles at work in these correlations appear to be dynamic but radically indeterminate in their multivalent nature. Though they represent enduring forms or essences of complex meaning, and are clearly discernible underlying the flux and diversity of the observed phenomena, they are also both fundamentally shaped by many relevant circumstantial factors and co-creatively modulated and enacted through human will and intelligence. Because of this combination of dynamic multivalence and sensitivity to particular conditions and human participation, I believe that, contrary to its traditional reputation and employment, such an astrology is best regarded, as mentioned before, not as concretely predictive, but as archetypally predictive. Compared with, for example, some forms of intuitive divination with which astrology in earlier eras was often systematically conjoined, the focus of an archetypal astrology, reflective of the evidence we have studied, is not the prediction of specific outcomes, but rather the precise discernment of archetypal dynamics and their complex unfolding in time. I believe that such an understanding shines a light on numerous long-standing issues surrounding astrology, such as the question of fate versus free will, the problem of identical planetary configurations coinciding with concretely different, though archetypally parallel phenomena, and the fundamental inadequacy of statistical tests for detecting most astrological correlations. The planetary correlations may offer a uniquely valuable form of insight into the dynamic activity of archetypes in human experience, indicating which ones are most operative in a specific instance, in what combinations, during which periods of time, and as part of what larger patterns. In providing such a perspective, archetypal astrology can be seen as essentially continuing and deepening the depth psychology project. To make conscious the unconscious, to help free the conscious self from being a puppet of unconscious forces, as in acting out inflated identification, projection, self-sabotage, drawing toward one as fate, what is repressed or unconscious, and so forth. Its study can mediate a heightened quality of communication and coordination between consciousness and the unconscious, with the unconscious now suggestive of considerably larger dimensions than originally conceived. Less exclusively personal, less subjective, more cosmically embedded. It provides this mediation, however, not by spelling things out in a literal, concretely predictive manner, but rather by disclosing intelligible patterns of meaning whose very nature and complexity, multivalence, indeterminacy, sensitivity to context and participation, and a seemingly improvisatory creativity are precisely what make possible a dynamically co-creative role for human agency in participatory interaction with the archetypal forces and principles involved. Final notes. An unexpected consequence of pursuing astrological research in the area of psychedelic exploration was that the latter brings forth profound encounters with the deep psyche that can often include direct experiences of the archetypes in various forms. Such encounters gave us a more vivid experiential ground for understanding astrological factors and opened up to us a better grasp of the multivalent character of the archetypal principles. Psychedelic and holotropic experiences also tend to bring about a deep change in epistemological outlook, what might be called a dissolution of the Cartesian-Kantian double bind of modern consciousness that experiences itself as evolved from and contextualized by a universe that is unconscious, purposeless, and ultimately unknowable. This shift of vision can lead to a recognition of the universe as ensouled and help mediate a spiritual moral awakening, a shift of heart, not just of mind, that is necessary for entering into such an astrological perspective, strengthening a mature hermeneutics of trust to balance and integrate with our already robust postmodern hermeneutics of suspicion. Such experiences can result in a new openness to the possibility of a cosmic intelligence that is coherent with and responsive to our own. Using archetypal astrological analysis in close examination of our own and other psychedelic experiences, we were also able to assess with greater experimental precision which astrological factors tended to be most significant in this area, and what were the orbs, the range of degrees before and after exact alignment, within which planetary alignments seem to be archetypally operative. We found that by far the most important factors in understanding these experiences were the planetary archetypes and the major aspects of the planets in natal charts, personal transits, and world transits. So too, the planetary positions relative to the horizontal and vertical axes, the ascendant-descendant, and mid-heaven imam chelai. The approach we found most helpful was similar to that of the astronomer Johannes Kepler, with his Pythagorean emphasis on the planetary aspects as the dominant astrological indicators within an unfolding cosmic geometry of archetypal meaning centered on the moving Earth. While the major aspects between the planets were the most important factors for this research, other factors such as planetary midpoints, minor aspects, progressions, and lunations were often helpful. Of less discernible importance in this context were many factors that are usually focused on in traditional astrology, such as the signs, houses, rulerships, and related matters. It was far more important to know that Pluto was transiting in conjunction to the natal moon than to know whether this happened in Virgo or Libra. The correlations we found of most consequence were thus unrelated to such issues and controversies as the precession of the equinoxes, affecting the placement of the zodiacal signs, the two zodiacs, tropical and sidereal, or the multiplicity of potential house systems and rulership systems. Our evidence also suggested the importance of recognizing larger orbs than have generally been used in traditional astrology. We came to see aspects not as acting like isolated on and off light switches within a narrow orb, but rather as indicating archetypal waveforms that enter into the individual or collective psychic field and interact with the larger complex whole of archetypal dynamics cumulatively operative in the field. These are then shaped and inflected by the specific circumstances and creative responses of the individuals and communities in question, and expressed as concrete events and experiences. I am acutely conscious of a number of important issues that remain to be discussed in this context, but that space does not permit at this time. One issue is certainly the potential misuses and dangers of using astrology in this area. In general, one must maintain a constant epistemological discipline and self-awareness to avoid the projection of fears or wishes. The drawing of definite conclusions on the basis of limited data, and the urge to control life rather than participate in it. On the practical side, the setting out of strategies for timing psychedelic sessions will require a separate publication. So too the different operative orbs for the different forms of correspondence, natal charts, personal transits, and world transits. The differences between the hard or dynamic aspects, conjunction, opposition, square, and the soft or confluent aspects, trine, sextile, and the differential importance to be attributed to each of the multiple planets involved in transits at any given time. Over the decades, Stan and I have discussed an enormous number of individuals' psychedelic and holotropic experiences that have come our way and examined the relevant birth charts and transits. In all cases where we had adequate data, the correlations consistently proved of great interest, instructive, and even after these many years, striking in their combination of precise archetypal correlation and seemingly infinite creative diversity. While in some ways extraordinarily elegant in its simplicity, the archetypal astrological perspective revealed such an intricate orchestration of cosmic movements and psychological patterns as to leave both of us at times shaking our heads in sheer admiration and awe at the universe's unimaginably powerful intelligence and creative artistry. As Stan has often remarked, the great irony of our quest for understanding the variability of psychedelic experience was that when we finally found a method that illuminated the character and timing of people's psychedelic experiences, it was as controversial as psychedelics themselves. It seems that the greatest treasures are sometimes hidden in the most scorned and humble places. Jung often spoke of the stone the builders rejected that turns out to be the keystone. Archetypal astrology does indeed seem to be, as Stan has described it, a kind of Rosetta Stone, allowing us to connect the symbolic language of the psyche with the symbolic language of the cosmos. Just as the expanded cartography of the psyche that emerged from psychedelic research has been immensely clarifying and even liberating as a comprehensive map of the realms of consciousness, we have found that the archetypal correlations with planetary movements have provided us with both an orienting compass and a detailed weather report, at once psychological and cosmic, that can be invaluable aids for the explorer of deep realms. Beyond its usefulness for the individual, what is perhaps especially thought-provoking and timely about this body of evidence is that just when our Earth community as a whole faces a great perinatal crisis of its own, we discover that the archetypal symbolism of the outermost planets of the solar system, the ambassadors of the galaxy, as Dane Rudyard called them, points with such vivid precision toward the perinatal threshold and the death-rebirth mystery. Richard Tarnas, PhD, May 2019.